Fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
We like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm up and running here this morning with this new doo-hoot. There it is. There it is. All right. All right, man. Oh, man, I woke up fresh and ready to roll here today. Jared, I'm messing with this thing, and we'll get her figured out here, boys. Hey, we're Coach Dave live. We're Coach Dave, and we're live, and it's the, what day is it? It's the 11th of October. I have no idea how all of a sudden it became Columbus Day yesterday on October 10th. My brain, like, wasn't even working. October 12th, in my mind, is, you know, it's kind of one of those days we make our holidays now coincide with Mondays, and so days don't even mean anything. By the way, it's like everything else. We want to change tradition. We see our church holidays changing. We want to see everything. So we want people to think things are just movable. July 4th isn't really July 4th anymore. It's Monday. Whatever. Wherever it falls, that's when you celebrate it. And it's all part of destroying the traditions we have around, I think. So there you go again, Coach, you big conspiracy theorist. Go ahead. Had an interesting day yesterday. Spent all day with, not bragging, but I'm just telling you the truth. Spent all day yesterday with Brian Bosworth, the Boz, for those of you who don't remember, played at University of Oklahoma. Knows Jesus now. Jesus knows him now. Spent all afternoon with him. Ended up, believe it or not, he got off the plane. Spent all day in the Apple store. If you guys have never been in an Apple store, go into an Apple store and you'll see exactly why we're screwed. Am I allowed to use that word? I don't know if I, and why we're in trouble. Go into the Apple store and you'll see exactly why we're in trouble. That store was, we walked in there. It's where they sell Apple phones and where they repair Apple phones. I walked in there. I could not believe what I saw. I just couldn't believe it. Zombies, literal. These people are zombies. They are totally, completely in love and manipulated by this thing. And when you walk in there and you look around and you just realize the grip that the enemy has on us through this apparatus, it is astonishing. And it was almost like a spirit, because the whole time I'm in there with the boss, what do I want to do? I want to get on this thing. Everybody else is on this thing. It was everywhere. It's everywhere. Mind control, folks. Mind control. Had a good show yesterday. I released a video that's on its way to going viral. So whether it will or not, I'm going to put this up here for you in a second. I'm going to watch that. It's the same thing. Listen to me. The same thing that has infected the church has infected the Republican Party, not the Democratic Party. Republican Party, the exact same spirit, the spirit of cowardice, the spirit of femininity. I don't even know exactly how to put an eye, the Jezebel spirit. I'm going to talk about the Jezebel spirit here this morning. We have such cowardly leadership. Is it any wonder that we're in the mess that we're in? Is it any wonder? And once again, who's leading the Exodus? Churches, Christians, holier than thou Christians. Say it again, holier than thou, Chris. Send me all the stinking emails you want to about how I'm lost and how I'm a sell. Go ahead and send them all to me. Go ahead. I can't believe how stinking blind some of you people are thinking that this what's going on before us is Republican and Democrat, conservative and liberal. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know. If you can't see, say what you want to about Donald Trump. Who could we put? What would they be saying right now today? Hang on. What would they be saying right now today if it was Ted Cruz, or if it was let's say it was Franklin Graham. Let's say Franklin Graham was Donald Trump. In other words, Franklin Graham got nominated to be the Republican nominee. Franklin Graham. Let's use him as an example. And if Franklin Graham was under attack the way Donald Trump has been under attack, if Franklin Graham was to have the entire Republican Party bail on him, if Franklin Graham was to have the entire media attack him, if Franklin Graham was to have the entire world coming against him saying, no, 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 he's not qualified to be a president. No, 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 he's not qualified. He's not qualified. Help me out here, church. What would the church be saying if this was happening to Franklin Graham? Can anybody help me? What would they be saying?
Same thing they are now, nothing.
Depends on whether you're talking about the church or the
I got church. You. Here's the point I'm making. Here's the point they're making. The church, whoever they are, would be saying, that's what he has to expect. The world doesn't want God's man in there. The world doesn't want God's man. Can't have, look at them attacking God's man. And those same evil forces are attacking Trump, including the church. And we, I don't even know how to, if you can't see it, I don't even know how to explain it to you. What is going on? In all my life, I've never seen anything like it. And you know, I kind of brushed over it yesterday. I wish if we had 10 men in positions of authority with the hair on their chest that Donald Trump has, we'd have a chance. If we had 10 men in charge who had Jesus deep inside their hearts, who had the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead and had the boldness and the tenacity and the stick-to-itiveness of Donald Trump, we turn this world upside down. Somebody say amen. Somebody out there say amen.
Amen.
And see, we see him, and we see his manliness. And what is the church telling us? Oh, don't be like that. He's vulgar. Don't be like that. We have sissified men, sissified churches. I'm gonna play that video here in a second. You know, I've lost a lot of people I consider friends. They aren't friends. Facebook friends. I can't believe the attack I come under every time I try to stand up and speak the truth. But that's what the Bible. Hey, I ain't whining and complaining. I don't lose any sleep over these folks. I just saying I can't. It's like watching a game film. After the game's over, and say, what the? How could they do that? How could he not see that? That would happen to me over and over. You know, you get your center and your guards, and the defensive line would be across the linebacker, and they'd do an X game. They'd do the next game, and the right guard would miss. That guy'd run right by him. I'd say, how can they miss that? We worked on that. And that's what I feel when I'm watching what's going on in the church world. How can they miss that? And we are. How can you not see that some – wait a minute. Hang on. Remember I told you there's only two teams? God's team, the devil's team. Hey, JR, help me out here, something. Which one's the devil's team? As we're looking at this right now, which one's the devil's team?
You painted it pretty clear yesterday.
So, what's the Bible say? Jesus said, can Satan cast out Satan? Jesus said that. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And we still have people sitting here today that say Trump is a setup, that Trump is a setup for Democrats. Hey, I want to ask them. Hey, JR, Mike, Roger, Michael, Sarge, Larry, what would have happened in your house if your wife had seen a video of you doing what Donald Trump was allegedly done? What would happen to your house, JR, if your wife saw a video of you, me and you walking down the street, and you tell me what you do with women? What would have been the reaction in your house?
Things would have gotten pretty warm.
Yes, yeah, pretty warm. And so Trump's just playing a game, huh? He's just playing a game, letting his reputation being destroyed like that. Why can't we see what's going on? But we aren't. But see, there's some good stuff happening. Turn to Judges real quick before I get rolling. I'm going to get rolling. Anybody want to say anything before I get us here in Judges?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Mike.
Spent the weekend with Scott Lively.
Oh, man.
DefendTheFamily.com. He has coined a phrase which I think is really helpful in this regard, New Testament myopia. New Testament myopia. It's interesting that you're segueing to Judges, to the Old Testament. He talks a lot about how the church over the last century has abandoned the field in terms of educating about the importance of the Old Testament. And I think that's especially true right now as we look at what's going to happen to Donald Trump in the next 20 days. I mean, this is war. It's war.
I might do the whole show standing up like this. I'm thinking about doing the whole show standing up like this. You see, it is war, and we don't understand that it's war. We don't understand that it's war. The church, what does Scott Lively call it? New Testament myopia?
Yes.
That's good, because we are so blind. And JR, I barked at you about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, and said the reason we're in this mess is because as soon as this election's gone over, the church is going to go back to myopia. The church will then go back to New Testament myopia, where everything will be just about them and what's going on in our church and just our families. And then 3 years from now, we'll get another candidate, and the church and pastors are going to be. Can't we see what's going on? Can't we? Turn to Judges. I'm going to show you one thing's going on. Don't know if you know this or not, boys. I'm really excited today. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Now, as soon as we identify who the real enemy is. I'm thinking right here. Listen. What's that, JR? I'm sorry.
Myopia, for those that don't know, is nearsightedness. It's blurry, distant vision.
And if we had a little bit of what they call when it's not myopia, it's anyway, that other one.
Farsightedness?
No. Yeah, when you can see down the road. When you can see down the road, if we could see down the road, we wouldn't be acting the way we are. If the church could see down the road, we would not be acting the way we are. I'm going to say this again. I sort of said it yesterday.
Sort of me.
In all of my lifetime, you're going to think I'm crazy. In all of my lifetime. I never saw a braver man than Donald Trump on Monday night. Sunday night. In all my life, I've never seen a braver man. The more I thought about that, not whether he's right or wrong, not whether he's Christian or not Christian, don't put words in my mouth. The bravery that guy had was astonishing. It'd be like you're a football coach and your team decides not to play. Or your team takes off their uniform and goes and sits in the stands. And you say, I'm gonna go play anyway. I'm gonna go play anyway. It's unbelievable. Do you guys see that? Roger, you know how manly he was the other night? Oh my goodness. Hey, Jim, JR, Roger. Pat T-Berry came out. Pat T-Berry came out. Hang on, brother. Pat T-Berry crawled out of his hole. That's our congressman, boys, our local congressman.
Our congressman,
Pat T-Berry. He's against Trump, too, now. I'm sorry. I just got to draw the line right there. Yeah. Pat T-Berry. Wonder how many guys in the Senate and Congress that Pat T-Berry hangs out with are out there boogering women that aren't their wives. Suppose Pat Tiberi knows of any of those guys?
You know, Dave.
Pat Tiberi. Yeah.
The greatest opportunity for the church now, one of the greatest with Mr. Trump, is to show him the grace that Christ gives all of us.
That's right.
And here the Pat Tiberi, the faith-based candidate going to church on Sunday, throws him unforgiveness.
Yes. It's amazing. You're on the air with the coach and a bunch of guys who had a – go ahead, brother. You're up.
Yeah, I just want to call again to say that the spirit of the
– Hang on, man. Who are you and where are you from?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is John from Kentucky.
John from Kentucky. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. The same spirit that is in you is the same spirit in me. We both are trying to serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everybody wants him as Savior, but they don't want to be him or them as their Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So what I'm trying to call to encourage the brothers who are there on the queue, as well as those who are listening around the country, that if you want to be on the first string for God, you got to suit up, first of all, on the JVs. That means you need to show up so that when coach and people like him were sold up to Christ, he will show you how to get in the fight for Christ. Not for himself, but for Christ.
Amen.
If anybody says that they're for Christ, but their works and their fruit does not show that, I do a self-examination myself. If I turn my back to the Holy Spirit, I get hit upside the head. He chastised me because he loves me, just like he loves you guys. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Act on it. In faith. I don't want to be like those people who stood around and spelled David to the Goliath with five stones. I want to be David.
Amen, John.
I don't want to be the grown man who says, send out the boy, because he got more faith than me that he can take it down.
Amen.
Guess who fought the fight? God, his God, fought with, and he aimed that stone perfectly to take down a giant. We all have giants in this world, personal and in the nation. Get in the fight, brothers, and God bless.
Thanks, John, man. Good call. Good call. There's numbers up there, 740-323-0871, 740. It's upside down, 74323, Jared. 323-0871. Maybe that's why they're not calling. Somebody someplace is getting a bunch of phone calls and they can't figure out why. 740-323-0871. And see, JR made me take this down, but it was the right one. 323-0871. There you go. Leave my show alone, JR. 740-323-0871. Are we in Judges? Are we in Judges? Did I say that? Judges 7. Come on, show you something. Hey, the Lord's calling the herd. Calling, C-U-L-L-I-N-G. You know what it means to call the herd? C-U-L-L-I-N-G means to what do they call that? To chop it down. Another story of Gideon. I want to go through this with you today because I want you to see what's going on. The Lord is calling the herd. Not only that, the Lord is exposing the phonies. He's exposing the phonies. And it's an honor to be part with the Lord. Let's go, Jared, let's go to verse, chapter 7, verse 7. Story of Gideon. I'm not going to take you back to the part of it. I'm sorry, Jared, let's go up. I just told you the wrong place. Let's go to verse 3. Sorry. Let's get through this real quickly here because I got some other places I want to go. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and unafraid. Wasn't it Joshua said, fear not? Wasn't it Joshua? Be strong and be of good courage. Seems to be a theme here with the Lord. Seems to be a theme here with the people the Lord uses. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And then they returned to the people 20 and 2,000, and then there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, you still got too many. Start out with 32,000, 22,000 left, or down to 10,000. Gideon comes back, and the Lord says, good job, Gideon, except you still got too many. Verse 5. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, listen, Gideon, here's what I want you to do. Every one of those guys who gets down and laps the water like a dog, in other words, puts his face straight down in the water and drinks like a dog, like my son's dog does when he comes over and he drinks out of the toilet. He sticks his whole head down in the toilet. You know what I'm talking about? You guys seen dogs do that? Gideon said, the Lord tells Gideon, every guy that you got that goes and sticks his head down and drinks like he's a dog, you send that guy home. You send him home. Everyone that does that, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. So here's the picture. He tells Gideon, listen, Gideon, if they stick their head in the toilet like the dog and they just lick it, blah, 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 you send those boys home. Send them home. But then he said, look, Gideon, verse 6. Here's what I want you to do, Gideon. I want you to watch for the guys. Get your pencil and paper out, Gideon, and you watch for the guys who take the water. Get this picture. Come on, get your screen on me if you can. Get this picture. He says, you watch, Gideon, for the ones who get down on the knees, and they cup the water, and they drink it with their heads up. He says, you watch for them, Gideon, the ones who are not taking their eyes off of the enemy. As they're drinking their water, they're looking around. They're keeping their eyes wet. He says, those boys are the ones you want, Gideon. And the number of them that lap, putting their hand to the mouth, were 300 men. Get the picture? It was 32,000. He cuts it down to 10,000. Now he says, okay, go do that, Gideon. How many lapped it, Gideon? They say, is that only 300 of them? Gideon, and the Lord said, all right, now we're ready to roll. When I was coaching, I called it addition by subtraction. It's a great principle, addition by subtraction. Sometimes you got to get rid of some stuff to get stronger, like your belly. Dead weight, we call that. That's what's going on right here. This is what's going on. We're finding those, the Pat T-Berries and the, you can name them, Paul Ryans, stick their head in the water, lap it like the dog does. Lord's showing us, and what's he saying? I'm paying attention to those guys. Get those guys out of here. And what we're building, know this, there's a bunch of guys who are drinking the dog. Drinking the water out of their hands, keeping their eye on the enemy. Keeping their eye on the enemy, even to the point of when they're thirsty, they come back for more and keep their eye on the enemy. Go ahead. Yeah, Larry.
300 is less than 1% of 32,000. And might be a percentage you want to keep in mind.
And Larry, it's the elite of the elite. Hang on there. Good morning. You're on with the coach.
Hey, coach. Right there where you're reading the Judges, he was talking about the people.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny when he got down there, he called the 300 men.
Somebody
else, he said them or whatever, but he said 300
men. 300 men.
God bless you, sir.
Thanks, Robert. Okay, guys, I'm going to veer into something here. Let's do it. Let's do it. Women leadership's judgment on America. Women leadership. And if these never-do-well, check-panted, wimpy Christian leadership and Christian politicians, they want to say, Trump's not worthy. Trump's not worthy. Can anybody show me, Pastor, where it says a woman ought to be ruling over us? Which is greater damnation to the people? Trump, who likes to fornicate, or Hillary, who wants to rule over man? Which is more dangerous, Sarge? Somebody help me here! Which is more dangerous?
The woman.
You nitpicking little Christians out there.
The woman.
Which is worse? Women. What do you think, Sarge?
I think that if we were looking at the archons and the principalities that are in the spiritual realm, supposedly there's 72 of them that control the nations. I got a feeling that none of them are of the female persuasion.
None of them are. None of them are. Does that make you mad, Sarah? Does that make you mad telling you that you shouldn't be in the fight? We can't hear you, sweetheart. You have to unmute.
I don't mind being in the cheerleader on the sides. Right. My fight is elsewhere.
You can go fight. You can go fight. You just can't lead us. You just can't lead us in the fight, Sarah.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, most women. I don't even care, Jared. I don't even care if it makes women mad. I don't even care. I don't even care. It doesn't even make sense. Does it make sense to you that your quarterback would be a girl?
Dave?
Does it even make sense that your president would be a girl? What, Roger?
That's the problem. We're all in on death, burial, and resurrection. We're all in on the stone being rolled away from the tomb. But we are not all in, and we are paying a high cost in the church and in public life when the roles of men and women are skewed and not biblically built. It's just the way it is.
No, so can pastor, you tell me, Roger? Can anybody tell me? Come on now. I'm going to zoom in here a minute. Truth sounds like hate. I'm going to zoom in here a minute. Can any of you listening right now tell me when the last sermon you heard from your pastor saying Hillary Clinton is disqualified to be president because she is a woman? Anybody? Should the church be proclaiming that or not? Is it the truth or not? And should the church be proclaiming that? Pastors, listen, it's very, 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 very clear. Very clear that women are not to rule over men. Would somebody say yes? Somebody amen me on that? Or do you have that sissy Bible that Roger likes to read
amen.
Out? It's very, very clear. So every man standing in the pulpit for no other reason should say no Hillary, because it violates the laws of God. Women are not to rule over men. But you know why they can't? Because the men in the churches are ruled over by women. I'm coming, Jared. I see your hand. Women are running the church. Women are running men in the church. Men sit by and compliantly watch a sissified Christianity. They watch a sissified man standing in their pulpit singing sissified songs to love everybody and hug everybody and pray for everybody and kiss everybody. Every bit of it effeminized. And we look around and we got the ultimate Jezebel trying to ascend to the throne. And the churches won't even speak out against that. Because why? Gonna make the women upset. Huh? Feminism has crept into the church. The church is the salt. The world is the salt of the church. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Man, oh man, some of you guys listening and watching right now, if your wife went to you to church and your pastor spoke out against women leadership, your wives would chew your hind end all the way home. You don't have to say amen because I know it's true. Go ahead, Jared.
See, Coach, they chew the husband's hind end, but they would never say anything to the pastor.
No, they might. No.
But here, Genesis. Well, I got Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. It's part of the fall. Why you don't like it? Because it's part of the fall. That's why you don't like it.
I'm going to turn this show over to Jared here at some point. I don't know what we're raising up there in Maine, but I like it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
See, you know, right here, what Jared just
said. Hey, that's hate speech, Larry. That's hate speech.
and what Jared just read, you know, like women shouldn't rule over men and stuff like that. But see, every pastor standing behind those pulpits today, almost everyone, there may be some exceptions, but they say, oh, no, that's, you know, that's, that is no more, that things have evolved, that women are equal with men now, you know. So, yeah. You know, if that pastor is right instead of God, see, those pastors are saying, God, you made a mistake on that one. Yep. You blew that one, God. You just didn't get that one right. So here's what we do. That's where it said that. Let's throw that page away because God got that one wrong.
That's right.
But once you start tearing pages out, you may as well throw the whole book out because it doesn't mean a thing to you.
Amen, Larry. In the beginning, you take that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. If that ain't true, throw the book out. The first sentence ain't true, throw it out. Throw it out. And you guys, I stumbled onto something here. I've stumbled onto something here.
Dave.
Our pastors right now ought to be in the pulpit speaking against Hillary simply because she's a woman. One of the rules, hang on, Roger, I'm on a horse. I'm going to dig it up here in a minute. One of the evidence that we are under judgment, does anybody know when you're under judgment? The scripture says when you're under judgment, women and children shall rule over them, church. Michelle, if you're listening, come down here a minute. She hasn't done her makeup, and she probably won't. Come down here a minute. I boss my wife around here, that. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. We have got the most absolutely unbelievable marriage, my wife and I. From my perspective, I think she agrees. And you know why? You know what she loves most about me? Is I make those tough decisions. She loves that about me. She loves it that I make that tough decision. She loves it when I say to her, don't worry about it, honey. I'll handle it. I grew up in a home when I can remember I was 15 years old. I walked out of the back room. Dad's sitting out in the living room. Mom's doing whatever moms were doing. And I wanted to go someplace. Come here real quick. Come here. I said, hey, Dad, can I go? I don't remember where it was. Hey, Dad, can I go? Can I go to Jim's house, Dad? Anybody know what my dad said? Anybody know what my dad said?
Go ask mom.
Go ask your mother. How many of that happened to in your house? Go ask your mother. And so I subtly began to realize who was the real boss in my family. Subtly. And as wives, Michelle's over here. Come over here, sweetheart. Michelle. She says she's not going to get on TV because she doesn't have her makeup on. She's 60 years old and beautiful and worrying about not having her makeup on. How many women look beautiful at 7:32 in the morning? So listen, see, Jared, you're onto something. This idea of men being in charge, they're not in charge in the church and they're not in charge in government. You go to school, we send our children to school, and who do the children answer to? Women teachers. And when they go to the principal, who do they go visit? Women principals. So a young boy never has to stand up and look in a man's eye. But a young boy, are you looking at me? A young boy never has to stand up and look into these eyes and say, stop doing that, man. You stop that. And then we see him do what? Give us football coaches, Goldie Hawn. Remember that? Remember that movie they made? Goldie Hawn was a football coach and all those football guys ran around following. How proud we are when women are coaching men's sports. Guy, come on. Boy, hit on something today. I'm going to have to write on this. I'm going to have to talk on this one. What? Women and children are ruling on us. I made the point. I'm not going to get stuck there. Roger, you want to say something?
Yeah, real quick. Genesis 3:16. I understand in the role of marriage. Very clear. Help me understand the female outside of the role of marriage in society. Won't the general woman come back and say, that's just in the marriage, but when I'm out in public life, I can lead and rule?
Yeah, well, Roger, that's good old selective Christianity. That's compartmentalized Christianity. I'll follow the Bible in my home, but I won't follow my Bible out in the world. And I'm going to make it. Now I'm going to really tick you off. See, I wonder how many marriages would be together today if the woman never left the home to work. Because why? Because they go out into the world where they're surrounded by men, and there's a natural attraction that happens. See, so it's all tied together. See, the governmental system has forced women to work. It takes two incomes to raise a family. Oh, JR, I'm on another one. I got to veer into this. Is it okay if I veer into this? Listen, there are a lot of guys watching right now. A lot of men, a lot of women who are listening right now. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, Grandpa, do this. Do whatever you can to help your daughter-in-law not have to take your child, your grandchild, to daycare. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, if you have to pay your child's mortgage, take all that money that you got stuffed up and you're going to leave them after you die, let it be spent on them right now to invest it in your grandchildren. It is so, I can't tell you. I went over to my daughter's house. I got back, I flew in on Sunday night. My wife and I went over to visit our grandchildren, both sets of our daughters yesterday, to walk into that house and see little David and little Reese with their mommy there doing homeschool with them and running around and they're having fun and they're laughing and they're giggling and they're jumping and mommy is sitting there right in the middle. They're not a daycare. They're not some stranger taking care of them. You say, well, Coach, unfortunately, we live in a society where the woman has to work. That's what I'm saying, Grandpa. Take some of your stinking money and say to your granddaughter, if you get pregnant, I'll pay the mortgage. I'll pay your mortgage if you will stay home and take care of my grandbabies. When's the last time you heard that preached in the church? Huh? When's the last time you heard that? Because, Jared, little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? Get that woman doing this, let her out and do this, and let her, huh? How about this one? I hate to admit this. I sat under a woman pastor early in my Christianity. I wonder, she was boss in the church. I wonder if she was boss at home. Did her husband sit beside her and have her be his pastor, and then when they go home, he's boss? How many of you think it worked that way? There's no way that it can, is there? There's no way that it can. So it's all messed up. Well, I feel like I'm really stuck in a rut here. Somebody bail me out. Anybody bail me out, Jared?
Well, Coach, like, it's part of the fall. Women, it's kind of like the whole thing, the Marxism thing, right? The foundation of Marxism is, well, you know what? We were actually born the wrong sex or whatever. So we should try to become women. And then there's some truth to that, but biblically you resist the part of you that's evil because that's called evil. So the men resist the desire to be womanly and to shirk responsibility and to push off. They that's what women are built to do, is to push that off. But women also don't want to do that. Women they fill the gap where there's a gap. If the man pushes off responsibility, she'll pick it up. And she's not strong enough. She's not strong enough. And that's it. So we resist the flesh.
Oh, my goodness. And so, Jared, that's good. That's, folks, this is so good. Listen, this is deeper than you know. This is deeper than you know. Well, got the phone working maybe. I'm gonna say this. Hang on a second. I'm going to answer this soon. Hang on a second. I'll be right with you. Listen now. Come on. We've let all this stuff creep in on us. It's all crept in on us. It's become a way of life and we don't even see it. We can't even recognize it anymore. We can't even recognize that the dad is not the spiritual head of the home anymore. Because he's not the spiritual head of the home, he's not the spirit. We think, I went to the Apple store yesterday, and the guy, the little man, woman, whatever he was, that was working on Boz's phone, little sissy man. Oh, he was so excited because the big general manager was coming in. Of course, we know what the big general manager was, right? It was a she. She was coming in. And I was there when she came in, and I'm thinking, I wonder who's taking care of her babies. I wonder if she even has any babies. I bet she doesn't. I bet she's got a great career and a bunch of money. I bet she ain't got any babies. You're on the air with the coach.
Yes, this is John from Kentucky again.
Hey, John.
You hit a nerve. Okay. Scrooge, I had to call back. My wife, she stays home. We moved from Texas to here so that our grandkids would not have to be babysat by strangers. So we're
Amen.
Good that.
Amen.
Second, my wife knows I will lay my life down for her.
Amen.
There's no greater thing you can offer your wife than say, I'll lay my life down for you.
So, John, in your house, if there's a knock on the door at 3 in the morning, you don't send your wife to the door?
No, I go there with my Glock.
Wow. Wow.
Other end of the phone, Coach.
People ask me, how can a Christian rely on carrying a Glock? I said, well, my prayer is that if the person on the other side of that door, their God says, protect me against that homeowner, my Glock is going to misfire, and they're going to be okay. I believe God will allow me to shoot that person because they're coming in and invading my space, and I have to protect my family.
I'm with you, John. I'm with you. That's another one mistaught in the Bible. God bless you, John. Got to run here. Mike, what'd you say? Said something in my ear?
I think you hold it. You need to hold the other end of the phone.
Yeah, I think I'm figuring out. I got the wrong end. I'll get it fixed. Am I making anybody uncomfortable out there? Okay, listen. I want to veer to something because it's the Jezebel spirit, guys. Spirit of Jezebel. Now, I got a whole bunch of stuff here I was going to put up here and show you, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to talk about the Jezebel spirit. But, Jared, let's do this real quickly. Let's play my video from yesterday because this has hit a nerve. Hey, I'm going to throw another one at you. Yesterday, as Jared's getting that ready, hey, boys, I want you to notice something here in this video. My wife's driving as I'm making the video. I never let my wife drive when I'm in the car. I drive. You say, boy, you got issues, Coach. Maybe I do. But I don't want to be riding in the car and somebody come left of center and hit us, and my wife carries that guilt that she was driving the car. Somebody's going to plow into us. I'm going to be behind. Was it? You guys think I'm sick? Do you think I'm sick? So yesterday, she's driving. I jumped in the car and said, hey, honey, I got to make a video. You drive. So I want you to know I don't get in the car and ride around with my wife driving. Not very long. If we go on a trip, I'll let her drive a little bit. But I'm in control even of the steering wheel. Ooh, I hear a lot of women out there. Ooh, they don't like that. Yeah, my wife loves me. Go ahead and play this, Jared. Riding down the road with my wife driving. I didn't want you to think I'm crazy enough to drive and make a video. Got to get something off of my chest. Is it any wonder we lose? Is it any wonder we lose? Can you believe how easily those Republicans buckled when a little bit of heat hit on Donald Trump? They went running for the hills, compromising, huddling up, lying down, frayed. I saw something last night in that debate. Donald Trump, you say what you want to, you don't like him, whatever. I don't know how many people could have walked into that room last night. How many could have made it through the weekend with the assault that he was under? He had no friends in his party. He had no friends in the media. He had no friends anywhere. Those feckless Republicans. You know what I hope? I don't care if Trump wins. I hope he destroys that Republican Party. That phony Republican Party, checkered pants, sissy boys,
who won't stand up and put up a good fight. No wonder Obama's been running roughshod all over America. There's no opposition from the sissy boys on the religious right or on the whatever, the Republicans, the rhinos. Go bust that party up. That's what I say. God bless you all.
So we're going to know at some point, thank you, feckless, is an adjective lacking initiative or strength or character, irresponsible. We got feckless Republican leadership. And the day is going to come, you mark my word, when we are going to find out that the White House was run by Michelle Obama and Valerie Jarrett. That Obama ain't even making those decisions. And we know, as we look back over our shoulder, who really ran the Clinton White House. We know who ran the Clinton White House. We know who did. Who do you think runs the Trump empire? Huh?
Huh?
Melania?
Melania? Think
no. Somebody wants to jump in here.
Yeah, Coach. This is Michael.
Yes.
Part of the problem is, too, is that people don't have confidence in themselves and who they are. A man doesn't have confidence in who he is, so he can't lead.
Amen.
And women also need confidence, but they need confidence from the man to be who she is. She's to be his helpmate. And we've lost all of that proportion of what a helpmate is. She has wisdom. She has things that can offer him so he can lead. It's supposed to be on an equal basis, but only in the fact that he has to take the headship, just as Christ is the head of the church, amen, if you read Ephesians chapter 5. And that's what the image it's supposed to be. But we have lost all confidence in ourselves because we don't really know who we are in Christ. If you know who you are in Christ, you don't worry about all of this crap that's going on around you. You stay centered in him and you walk through it.
The only way, Jared, I see it coming to you in a second. By the way, anybody wants to get in here, 740-323-0871, 740-323-0871. The only way that a strong woman can function in a marriage or in a family is if there's a weak man. Now listen, my wife's a strong woman. She's a strong woman. But if I go upstairs right now, we're not going to wrestle over the checkbook. We're not going to wrestle over who's going to do what. We're not going to fight on that. We're not going to wrestle over who goes to the grocery. We're not going to wrestle on who takes the gun and goes out and shoots the deer. We're not going to argue over that. She can come if one. She can go shoot one. But there ain't no wrestling match going on in our household because we understand God's authority structure. Guys, our homes are screwed up. Our homes are screwed up. Come on. Our homes are screwed up because this has crept into the church. Go ahead, Jared.
Just when I was in college, I would ask women, say, you know, do you like hanging out with groups of women? And they said, no. And then I could ask guys, I would say, do you like hanging out with groups of women? No, I like hanging out with guys. Girls would say the same thing. So, you know, girls like hanging out with guys. Guys like hanging out with guys. Where's the disconnect, you know? Men fear women, and women don't like it that men fear them.
Mm.
So stop fearing women, and you'll fix all the problems. And loving God, like Michael said, is the key to that. Is the key to that, keeping God your focus. But that's right. Stop fearing women. Women will like it. Guys will like it. You'll like it. God will like it. Pretty simple.
Proverbs 31. Sarah's put that up there a couple times. Let's go there, Jared. Proverbs 31. They call it the Proverbs 31 woman.
Uh-oh.
Do you guys have any? Do you get, yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Hang on right now. Hang on right now. Do you have any idea how much I love the women in my life? You don't have any idea how much I love the women in my life. I do it. Michelle, Abby, Maggie, Reese, Macy, I would do anything for those girls. I love those girls. I love those girls. And there are people watching this show right now. You know what they're saying? Some women in particular, they're saying, oh, that coach is a sexist. Oh, how can you listen to that? He's sexist. No, no, I love women. I want to protect them. I don't want to put undue burdens on them. Dare I say this? Yes. Is it crass? Yes. I don't want to knock them up and make them raise the baby on their own. Real men raise babies. They don't just make them. But see, this whole thing's crept in. I have the greatest women in my life who love the fact that their daddy leads and stands in defense of them and protects them and helps them be the women that they are, to help them to be. See, you're not a woman. You shouldn't be. Oh, Lord. Why are we looking for fulfillment outside of the home? Why are we looking for fulfillment outside of the home? Hillary Clinton loves women so much she had one child. That's how much she loves women. She had one child. Yes. Oh, yeah. Chad said, men let women control them through sex. Gonna cut you off tonight, honey. Oh, yeah? That's a good one. I hear somebody busting trying to get in here. I haven't gotten to Proverbs 31, but I will. Look at our leadership. Nancy Pelosi. Can anybody else rattle them off? Hitlery. They're everywhere. The View, those women on The View. Oh, my Lord. Proverbs 31, I said I was going to get there. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Wow, are you kidding? What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not your strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. What destroys kings? Giving your strength to women. It is not for kings, O Lynn, not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and give it to and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. So when you reach the end, go drown your sorrows. Verse 7, let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. But open your mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed destruction. Open your mouth. Hey, Lemuel, open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. 10. But who can find a virtuous woman? I got one. I got two daughters that are virtuous women. For her price is above rubies. Oh, my Lord. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. I trust my wife implicitly. There is nothing I don't trust my wife with. Oh, my goodness, what peace and grace that brings. So that he shall have no need of spoil. Virtuous woman, 12. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. Hey, some of the biggest fights you have in your house is with your wife. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's a housewife. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night to make breakfast for her husband. Take care of her kids. She considereth a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she makes a garden out there. She girds her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Huh? My wife knows her merchandise is good. She values who she is and what she brings to the table. Her candle goeth not out by night. Wow. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches for her hands with her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. Mommy's taking care of them all. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Oh, my God. I could preach on that. I love you, Michelle, if you're listening up there. Everywhere I go, I just got back from Tulsa. Everywhere I go, people recognize the strength of my wife in me. They recognize it. When they look at me and they hear me, they know there's something special. You know what that is? That little woman standing beside me. It's making sure everybody's clothed and we've got a garden growing and I get breakfast in the morning and putters around this house. My wife is most alive when she's taking care of her family, her little grandchildren. I wish you could watch my wife when she enters into a room where her grandbabies are. I bless her by allowing her to be what the Lord called her to be. I bless her when I say, hey, Michelle, maybe you can go see the kids after work. Maybe when you get home 7 o'clock after you fix me dinner, maybe then you can go see the grandbabies. She's in the car right now. She just left. She's in the car right now. You know where she's gone? Yep. She's going to go pick up the grandbabies. Why? Because Abby has to do something. 8 o'clock in the morning, grandma's coming over. How many of you out there, if your grandchildren need help, women, I'm talking to you. How many women out there, if your granddaughter needs help, you can't help them because you got to work. You say, oh, well, coach, not everybody's in the position that you're in. It's your own fault. It's your own fault. Michelle could get a job. She could go get a job, make $60,000, $70,000, and she'll die with more stuff. The day's going to come when our grandkids are going to be sitting around the table telling stories about their grandma. Not how much money she made, not that she was CEO of this company or she was superintendent of schools or principal. They're going to sit around and tell stories. I was sitting the other night. I had all the grandkids around, dogs running, cats running. And I was just sitting there and I was watching everything that was going on. You know what I said, JR? I said, boy, I wish my mom could see this. She maketh fine linen, sells it, deliver girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. I don't send my wife out the outside of the house and wonder if she's going to be flirting with some man. I don't have to do that. I don't have to worry about that. She's beautiful. I'm sure many men would try to hit on her. She opens her mouth. And wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Wow, we're about out of time. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceit, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Wow! Man, we screwed it up, haven't we? Huh? Sending our kids to public school and telling them all how they got to get a job and get a good education and got to do you and do you and do you and 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 you. And someday you might be president of the United States. I'm going to finish with this thought. I eavesdropped one time on my on my daughter, Abby. She's got two children, two beautiful children. I eavesdropped on her one time. I didn't eavesdrop. She was having a phone conversation. She was in the kitchen. I was at the dining room table, and I overheard the conversation. She was talking to one of her sorority sisters from Hillsdale College, where Abby went to school. And they were bantering back and forth about how's your life going on. And you know what my daughter Abby said? She said, being a mommy is the most rewarding thing I've ever done. It's the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. How about that? My heart grieves with the women who have babies and then got to go leave them at a babysitter and go work all day and come home. And then have those babies pick up the values of the babysitter. Oh, I wish I could get Michelle on. She can tell you some stories about that. It's getting kind of soapy. We started out hard and we ended up soapy, didn't we? Started hard and ended up sissified. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God. Rise up and make her great. That's what we got to do. We got to rise up and make her great. Men of God have to do it. I love women. I married one. I've got two wonderful daughters. I got two beautiful grandchildren. And I want the husbands of my daughters to treat them like women, honor them, go earn some money, and let them flourish in the home where God planted them. Proverbs 31, woman. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.